Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Van Carraza from Operation Surf. So, can you tell me a little bit about Operation Surf?
Short form is Operation Surf was established back in 2008-09, and it has been a program for our wounded military. And it is a curriculum-based program that is a seven-day program that that creates the ability to learn surfing, experience nature-based programs of what we got to offer, and just camaraderie and building relationships and finding a way to find personal wellness.
So, in terms of working with wounded veterans, I imagine there's a lot of benefits beyond just the physical into the realm of mental health. So, could you tell me a little bit about what the curriculum offers in both arenas?
Well, one of the biggest part about this is building connection and finding that ability to let go and the curriculum basically through this process is it's serving as a perfect platform to have small obtainable goals that can be achieved on a daily basis, mostly multiple times during a day. So it builds that self-worth and that self-esteem and the self-efficacy to accomplish something that you didn't think you can do. And with that comes in the element of water, nature, exercise, which creates the dopamines and endorphins, and also it's fun. And so the spiritual and the mental relief that it gets is because surfing in the ocean takes 100% focus. And so when we do that, it takes us away from what might be going on within our 6 inches between our ears. And with that comes, and so we try to help build that within the week, but also other people, or multiple people have different ways of how they deal with it. And once they share that with other people, then it allows us the opportunity to choose to apply that in our life or not.
So in terms of the surfing itself, do you use any modified equipment?
Well, it depends on the individual. Adaptive surfing is taking the basics of what it takes to go out and catch a wave and ride a surfboard. And depending on the physical limitations of the individual, requires the equipment to be, not designed, but basically, set up for them to achieve what they need to achieve. So there's a lot of different equipment out there, a lot of them with handles, and depending on their injury depends on what you do to the surfboard or what type of care and service that they get through our surf instruction.
So, for someone with something like paralysis, for example, Would you be able to come up with some way for them to still be able to participate?
Yes. We have had quadriplegic, paraplegics, and, you know, just a variety of different, we've had everything, you know, and so blind, deaf, and the combination of that with amputations. And so basically, you know, someone with the paralysis, you know, you have like little bumpers on the rail, so it keeps them from sliding on and sliding off the surfboard. Typically, they have a hard time pulling their chest up, so we'll like, you know, put like a wedge underneath them that props their chest off the board, so they're not laying on the board trying to look up. You know, they're able to be upright enough to actually watch where they're going.
So, in terms of blind surfing, what sort of accommodation do you make there?
Well, there's obviously there's different forms of blindness, and so there's completely blind and there's partially blind, and depending on the type of severity of the blindness is obviously with the total blind would be they would have the proper surrounding and the care through our professional surf instructions to make sure they're safe. But they're also guided into the process of going in and out of the going out in the water, catching a wave with the limited amount of mistakes as possible, because that's what we do through our experiences. We try to get them into a the perfect setting to set them up for success. And so, you know, depending on, you know, for the first wave, the first day to the, you know, the multiple waves and the second day, the third day, is you build a confidence and an experience. And through that, we go off of the individual's progression. And so whatever they progress to, whatever they're more comfortable with, we allow them to continue the movement or get them to a place where they're comfortable and keep them there and just keep them to a place to where they're able to experience the glide across the water on a surfboard.
So in your time with Operation Surf, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
The biggest gift of Operation Surf was creating a platform for people to come that have hidden challenges, hidden frustrations that are basically holding in with themselves and not letting somebody know. And so, you know, for them to experience something, to build a relationship with you know, a community where they're able to actually share their struggles. And I'm basically going to go to suicide, okay? So, like, we've had multiple people that have come here that are on they're on the verge of checking the thing off their list and then ending it all afterwards. And may not they have that specific goal to do by coming here, but life is so challenging and full of struggles, of ongoing struggle after struggle. It just sometimes it doesn't seem worth it, and like nobody cares. And so the establishment that we create here is just a community of people that care. So a couple of things is when they come here and achieve, you know, the goals of doing something, see that they can still enjoy life, find a community that understands where they're able to share their challenges. You know, so I guess the success story has been when we reconnect and stay connected with our veterans that participate, that they turn around and say, you know, you saved my life. You know, I was done. I was on the verge of, you know, ending my life. And, you know, the care and the love that I received here at Operation Surf is, you know, now I'm able to enjoy life. And so, you know, I didn't carry through with that, you know, that permanent solution for a temporary problem. And so to be able to hear something like that is like I guess that's the biggest success story that anyone could ever receive, I think, is to find out something that you were giving to somebody was actually something that was a stepping stone to continue life.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure. Being of service to, are you ready?
Yes.
being of service to others requires, you know, a lot of, I guess, resources, and not only time of people, you know, committing themselves to the time to serve, but even the financial stuff to allow, you know, the lights to stay on and the progression to be able to let other people know that something like this does exist. And so I like to say that it takes a village, and, you know, our primary care is the heart, but in order to care for the heart, it requires a dollar. And so everything from the dollar bill to the hours that are donated of volunteering to make something like this is part of the outcome. It's no one individual that makes this happen. It's a collective group of many different people, of many different you know, donations, basically either financially or physically, to allow the opportunity to be available for people to experience. And so I really want people to know, as it's like the networking of letting people know what we do is really important, and that if there's any possible way of, you know, of their individual commitment to helping us carry out our mission, it's very much appreciated and it's very much needed.
Thank you very much. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from K.C. Fraser from the South Niagara Canoe Club. So, can you tell me a little bit about your work with SNCC?
Yeah, so I used to be, I've been paddling since I was 14, and I became a coach back when I retired in 2017, and I became the head coach at SNCC, and I started joined into that already with some of the programs developed, so the high performance, developmental plus, and then back in 2016 they had gotten a grant for Trillium for the para program to start it up, and we got to start a new program, which was great. And within that, we're just trying to develop these programs so that they can become stronger and bigger and giving more opportunities to anybody in the Niagara region to try something on the water that's new.
So, in terms of the para program, what types of disabilities do you most commonly see among the participants?
So, we kind of follow the Canoe Kayak Canada program and the criteria, which is mostly trunk and below. We also work with people with CV, and we are right now just dealing with anybody with no function of their trunk and legs.
So, how do you go about making adaptations for them to be able to kayak and canoe?
Well, that's what was great about the Trillium Foundation. They were able to give us enough money to give us the boats that were a little bit wider than normal racing kayaks, so it keeps it a little bit more stable, but also to adapt them by putting pontoons in the back of the boat. It was kind of a learning curve because we at first put the pontoons in the front, like a little bit closer to where they were sitting, and it wasn't really working. They kept hitting them, so we pushed them farther to the back of the boat. And then we actually have a couple of seats that are made for higher up, so they have a backing to them, and the sides have locking systems for the rudder, because in sprint canoe kayak, a rudder system is actually a stick in the front where you put your feet on, and you kind of move left to right. So sometimes they don't have the ability to move that steering stick, so we end up locking it, and then they manage by paddling as evenly as possible, as well as making some quick adaptation by using foam and pool noodles and changing blades and different sizes.
So,
How do you go about reaching out to the disability population to let them know this could be an option for them?
Well, we used to, we were going through, we had some connections with some of the physio programs around the Niagara region, so we would kind of tell them what we had, and if you had anybody in the general, you know, from trunk to below, any disabilities that were able, that wanted to try something new, that we had that opportunity. We also went through just word of mouth for the beginning, but hopefully in the future that we can actually expand. And what's really great about having all these boats is that it also gives opportunities for youth to come into our able-bodied programs, so like summer camp and stuff, so we can adapt if a younger athlete comes in and isn't able to do everything an able-bodied can, but they can still participate.
So that would be an integrated program, rowers
exactly.
with disabilities alongside their able-bodied counterparts.
Yeah, and that's what I love about paddling, is that from the experience of training most para-athletes, is that once they get on the water, they feel that they can compete against their able bodies. They don't see a disability.
So, to that end, in your time with this program, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
You know, during this hard time with COVID, it's a little tough because we weren't able to run our programs, but what I found mostly is that coming back to the water just this year and seeing my athletes come back, it was not more of a success meeting, you know, medals and stuff. It was just getting back on the water and feeling like themselves again. And feeling a little bit of joy, bringing back joy to their lives because they've been stuck in their homes quarantined for so long or in the lockdown. And this past month, we were able to start the program up again, and they, like, the smiles, the emails I got, I'm just saying, you know what, I'm so happy to just be back on the water. That's a success for me, to see people in this community enjoying what I love doing.
So,
for so long.
Are there any challenges in coordinating the para program to make sure that a rower with a disability is able to fully participate?
Yeah, so in canoe kayak, para canoe, the challenges I find is that everybody's different. Everybody needs different adaptations in the boat. So I find that when we actually bring them one-on-one, it's a little bit better because then I can really focus on, okay, you need more support in your back. You need more support on the sides to make sure that you feel comfortable in the boat. Sometimes when they just come on over and they sit down and they're like, okay, let's just do this. I love it. I love the enthusiasm, but I also want them to have a great experience. So I want to make sure that that every person has an opportunity. The other thing is I find one of the challenges is it's only for trunk and lower body disabilities, and I really hope that over time that we can start expanding with people that might not have great grip on their paddles or they're missing an arm, and we can adapt that by making something for their paddle. It's just right now, you know, it's all about budgeting and making sure that we have the money to provide them with these this equipment. And just kind of expanding.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Attention, you Windsor community. The University of Windsor has armed itself with a new tool for self-assessment of COVID-19 symptoms. This tool can be found in the Safe Lancer app, available in the Apple and Google Play stores. Keep yourself and others safe and healthy this school year and download the Safe Lancer app.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities to individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Van Carrazza from Operation Surf, and from K.C. Fraser, told us a little bit about SNCC. In this segment of our show, Jeremy Reno will be giving us an update on his work with Easter Seals. So, can you tell me a little bit about the latest happenings with Easter Seals?
Great. Thanks so much. So right now, Easter Seals is continuing with its virtual fundraising and awareness events. We're really excited because of the fact that we're continuing to open up. So hopefully this fall, we can return to our traditional events and other awareness activities in the community. But for now, we have one more event coming up. It's called Rolling Wheels for Easter Seals. And basically, it's a one-day challenge, which has participants walk, run, stroll, bike, or wheel 1 kilometer at their own leisure on Friday, July 24th. This opportunity you can do on your street, you can do in a park, you can do around a track, around your own work or volunteer schedule at your own convenience. And the idea is to raise funds and awareness for kids with physical disabilities, once again, July 24th. People are invited to sign up and register online at easterseals.org/rolling-wheels. And from there, again, the sign up is online. People are encouraged to walk, run, stroll, bike, wheel 1 kilometer on this day. And from there, we're trying to just, keep our organization going and keep the vision and mission alive of what we're doing to raise funds and awareness for kids with physical disabilities. And again, we are very excited to hopefully, fingers crossed, continue to open up with the framework of the local economy and the Ontario government so that we can return to our traditional business structures in the fall.
So with the pandemic and all we've learned and hosting virtual events, do you think you'll keep a virtual component when things open up again, offering both in-person and virtual?
That is an excellent question, and I would be remiss to say that going through the experience of what we just did and executing all these things virtually, the short answer is yes. I would love to do the traditional elements of what we have done in the past and also do virtual elements. If there's an opportunity to combine both, that'd be fantastic. I think that, this, despite the challenges of the pandemic, there was a great learning experience. And the fact that, we had to adjust and deliver some things virtually to not incorporate those learning experiences into and back through our traditional events would, it would be actually a loss. I think that now having the experience of doing the virtual elements and returning to a traditional one, combining both will only expand our opportunity to reach people wherever they may be in the area. And then from there, continue to grow Easter Seals in our community.
So, in recent memory, despite the pandemic and with all the virtual programs and classes, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
Okay. Well, the short answer is yes. Let's talk about the first one that comes to my mind. So this summer, we were very fortunate to have been approved for 2 Canada Summer Student Job Opportunities. It's funded through the government, and it provides Canadian residents locally to have a summer work opportunity to be able to work for an organization. Coincidentally, there are things that I'm doing now with both of these students that are planning for this Rolling Wheels event, and then we're looking ahead to the fall, but we're also looking and planning as far ahead as next year, which is the centennial of Easter Seals, which I can talk about in a moment. The success story, and I know this sounds really cool because I'm actually excited about it. One of our students, her name is Morgan Murphy, and Morgan is a graduate of St. Clair College and Media and PR. What's interesting about Morgan is that over a decade ago, she was what we call an Easter Seals kid, which means she was the recipient of a grant to be part of the Easter Seals family. And together, we helped enable her quality of life and that of her relationships with her family and friends and others. Morgan, after the grant, went on to participate at our camp. Camp Wadeden specifically in Pomona, Ontario, so she got to experience Easter Seals camp. From there, she was also able to be an ambassador of Easter Seals a couple times, so she represented us quite similarly to some of our ambassadors have more recently this year. And now she's gone to school, and her dream is to work for Easter Seals, believe it or not. So the cool thing is, she just finished. We're able to get her this student employment opportunity, and now personally, I'm hoping to find a way for her to join the Easter Seals organization in full. She's doing a terrific job, but I think it's one of the cool things where you have this, life cycle where she's gone through the Easter Seals organization at all levels, from being a recipient to a participant to an ambassador to getting her education, and now finding the pathway, the door to get an get a job with an organization she loves, and hopefully we can just continue that. And just staying with Morgan, she's helping out with Easter Seals, and it's awesome to have one of our own recipients and an ambassador be able to communicate and talk to families, reach out to Easter Seals families. It's also really cool because of the fact one of her side jobs that she's doing for us regionally is she's reaching out to ambassadors of Easter Seals, not just over the past 10 years, but 20 and 30 years. So she's doing a mega work history project, and she's identifying ambassadors that used to be called Timmies back in the day. And we're trying to see if we can learn where they are now. So at one point they were kids, they grew up, what are they doing now? And then we will like to hear their stories, capture their testimonials, and include them next year in our centennial, so we kind of have a ambassador reunion, if you will, during the centennial, which again, the birthplace of Easter Seals is here in Windsor. At a provincial level, she's also doing a lot of work. She wrote, for lack of better words, an ambassador how-to manual. So across the province of Ontario, we have Easter Seals offices, and all of the Easter Seals offices have ambassadors in their community. Now, a lot of the information is kind of shared from past ambassador to the next ambassador, but being an ambassador herself, being a student at the college, doing media and PR, she has made how to ambassador guide, which is going to be shared as a training tool for our future ambassadors. And also it has been sent to the Toronto office to be distributed to other regions so that they have a how to guide for their new ambassadors. So I just think it's so cool to have someone like Morgan on board. She's a great staff person. She's a great person in general. I love working with her, and I'm looking forward to what happens in the future in terms of the upcoming event, Rolling Wheels, and also what happens in the centennial, thanks to Morgan's support.
Like to thank you for taking time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Great.
My friends, when I heard the story of Operation Surf, I was just amazed, and so much as being out on the water, being at peace. This past year, we've all known such chaos and so many ups and downs. Finding that moment of peace can really be difficult. Now, we've all longed for that connection, that sense that we're not alone in the struggles we've had to face. But it's just as important to have time to reflect on things as well, I think. Virtual events keep us connected, but it's also important take care of one's own peace of mind, being at one's best. This has been HandyLink,
I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.